This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Can the Lakers, if fully healthy, stop a healthy Nets team? Can they even take them seven games? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I bring it up because it's not apples to apples. LeBron is once again outgunned. But he's overcome the odds before. In Cleveland, without Kyrie or Kevin Love, the Warriors edged him out in six games. He extended them to six games. And then the following year, LeBron led his Cleveland team past a fully loaded Warriors team that looked like they had the Cavs outgunned. Can he do it again? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Meantime, the Lakers continue to drop in the ESPN power rankings. Studies have shown that if you put power, the word power, in front of rankings, it makes it more, I'm about to use the worst sports word there is. Sports, especially here at ESPN, we've popularized this word. Impactful. Impactful, if anyone says impactful, it should immediately be met with like a little electroshock. So people stop using that word. People realize that when you put the word power in front of rankings, it makes it more impactful. There are lots of things that bother me nowadays as I get older. People saying impactful. This thing with elts. People say, I thought it was a joke. People say in California, like people say elts instead of else, elsewhere. They put a T in it for some reason. I thought people were kidding. I started to hear it. It's someone else. No, I want to start embedding little electrodes so that you can give people a little electroshock when they do things like that, say impactful or else. At any rate, the Lakers are now eighth in the ESPN power rankings. Anthony Davis's return did not stop the bleeding. LA is 0-2 now in AD's first two games back from injury against both against the Mavs. By the way, what makes it worse is the losses did come against Dallas, and they're the team nipping at the Lakers' heels in the standings. Lakers have a game and a half advantage over the Mavs for the fifth seed in the Western Conference standings. What, by the way, this is Dave McMenamin. I'm quoting him. This is, by the way, significant because the Denver Nuggets, as well as Aaron Gordon, has played with Jokic. Without Jamal Murray, simply are not going to get out of the West. With Jamal Murray, they were alive to get out of the West. They were live, Phoenix, Utah, and the Clippers, and of course, the defending world champion, Los Angeles Lakers. But now with Denver at four, and the Lakers not climbing, you would like to be at five so you can take Denver without Jamal Murray in round one. Otherwise, you will see the Clippers in round one. Or if position changes, the Suns. Or something unforeseen, the Jazz. You do not, and by the way, you certainly don't want to have to play all three of those teams to get out of the West. Anthony Davis still trying to find his rhythm. It's like, he said, you're starting over with the guys and just trying to find a connection with these guys again. They're trying to find a connection with me, so it's like we're starting from zero, which is tough so late in the season. Yep, he's right. And the Lakers need to find rhythm. What's been remarkable about the Nets, because the Lakers have two super-duper stars. So do the Nets, but Kyrie, if he's not one, is the closest thing to it. So it's really like three. It makes all the difference. Never want to break a dollar into four quarters in the NBA. If you have a superstar, you don't want to trade him for like four nice players. But you always want to trade four nice players and turn them into a superstar. And the more superstars you have, the better your team is. And the Nets have three. And the Lakers have two. Because think about this. Also, AD's game. I need to get in rhythm. Then LeBron has to come back. He needs to get in rhythm. All this. Now juxtapose that to KD. So AD on the one hand says, AD says it's like when you're starting over the guys, you're trying to find a connection with these guys again. They're trying to find a connection with me. It's like we're starting from zero. It's tough so late in the season. And they're 0-2 in his return. Compare that to Kevin Durant. It's like riding a bike. It was a good start. Hopefully I build on this game and keep going. Because he's coming back from a thigh contusion. First game back. They play him in this. It's like, let's not play him early and then have to sit him late against Phoenix. Let's make sure that he can close. KD played 28 minutes, dropped 33 points. And they won. So AD and KD, they're comparable level players in the sense they're both MVP threats, if healthy. They're both just about 7 feet. They're both, you know, playing at the highest possible level. AD comes back, we need to find a rhythm, and they lose. KD comes back, and he said the opposite. Not, I need to find a rhythm. It's like riding a bike, just right back. And they won. That's without James Harden. Now, the Lakers are also losing without LeBron James, and no one means more to their team, including Harden to Brooklyn, as LeBron James to the Lakers. He's the whole thing, or most of it. Like, he makes it go. And when LeBron gets back, if LeBron and AD are both healthy, I expect the Lakers to get out of the West. I just think they don't have enough to get by Brooklyn if they're healthy, too. Let's see. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max? Thanks for taking the call. That was a tough bet there with Perkins. It looks like his beard, you know what I mean? He's been growing it for a time. He has a year, you know, so I thought he did well not taking that bet. Yeah. Max, to the business, there's 11 games left in the NBA season, and if the Brooklyn Nets do not get the number one seed, that's trouble. That storm cloud's hovering over Brooklyn because that means they're going to have Milwaukee in the second round. And you know what, the injury history, they're going to have to go through Milwaukee.
But that's the whole thing, Andre. If they're not healthy, they're not going to probably not going to get out of the East if they're not healthy. The only maybe if Kyrie's not there, maybe Harden and KD could do it. But if they're missing either KD or Harden, I don't think they'd do it. Okay, if they're all healthy, it doesn't matter who they play. You know, the Nets, the difference with the Nets is if they're firing on all cylinders, the way like with the Lakers, boy, you want to get by the Suns and the Clippers and the Jazz. If the Nets are all healthy, they'll smoke the Suns, Clippers, and Jazz. Smoke them. No one's taking that team 7 games if they're healthy, and we all know it. I didn't jump to that conclusion, by the way. At first, I'm like, before they traded for Harden, don't trade for Harden. You don't know how he's going to play with Kyrie and da-da-da. Then they traded for Harden. Wow, the offense looks good, but that's the worst defense ever. I don't think they can do. Then the defense got to be like a solid, like decent defense pretty quickly. And then I had to give it up. You just got to give it up at a certain point. They're going to smoke every. This is the new Warriors. They might turn out to be better than the Warriors because while Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are the greatest backcourt ever shooting-wise, and then they added KD and they had Draymond and everything, the difference is, like, Klay can put the ball on the floor and make decisions with it if he has to, but if you're the defense back then, especially against the Warriors, that's what you want. Because that's not his strength. But you have 3 guys on Brooklyn who all can get their own shots at historically elite levels, like as well as anyone who ever lived, and all convert them from anywhere as well as anyone who ever lived, basically, from outside, from mid-range, from the free throw line, in the paint, at the rim, and they can move the ball. So the Warriors didn't have that. And then they also have guys like Joe Harris who can shoot the lights out and useful guys with size like Claxton and these guys. It's going to be a problem. I don't see them getting extended 7 if healthy. But meantime, the Lakers got to get healthy if they want to get out of the West. Hunter in Tennessee, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I love to talk NBA with you, but I got to get your take on this Tatis sign-stealing stuff. You know, they say it's always been a thing, but as a casual baseball fan, how is it different than what the Astros were doing?
But the difference is the Astros use technology.
Like the analog versus digital, you know, like what's the difference?
The difference is sign stealing's always been part of the game. If you're on second base and you peer in and you try and catch, you know, that's why catchers disguise. Why do you think there's signs in the first place, right? There's signs because the other team, you don't want the other team to know what you're doing. And so why do catchers, you know, why do they go through signs multiple times? So when they put down one, it doesn't necessarily mean fastball unless they did something first or they circle back to it, right? Because they know the other team is trying to find out what they're going to do. That's fine. That's always been part of the game. The difference is when you have technology set up in your home park that is indefensible, you can't defend against it. No matter what you do, they're going to know what's coming. That's a problem. And that's the difference. Will in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, can you hear me?
I got you, Will.
What's going on, brother? I just want to say I'm very excited to talk to you, man. I've been listening to you for a long time, man. I like And so I wanted to just talk about the Knicks real quick, man. I'm a lifelong Bulls fan. Grew up in the Jordan era. Like, I was there. I lived it. And, you know, I used to bang on the Knicks a lot, man. But it's real interesting seeing the Knicks right now get good, man. It's like, it's bittersweet. They got my coach. They got the D-Rose factor going on. But I just hope that the Knicks continue to build
Look,
their
the,
team.
The Knicks are a very easy-to-like team right now. Other than the owner, who's easy to detest, the Knicks are easy to root for. Thibodeau has coached this team up. They play with each other, for each other. They play defense. They're fun to watch. Julius Randle has made a star turn unlike anything I've ever seen in the NBA. I can't recall like a guy being drafted up high. He was a seventh overall pick, as I recall. And then spending 5-6 years in the league knowing what he is. He's a double-double. He's kind of an old-school power forward, maybe minus some defense. He's one-handed. He did it. And then mid-range, but no three. And then transform himself into a legit MVP candidate in season 6 or 7, whatever it is. I've never seen it before, but it's happened. So they're easy to root for, easy to like. The fact of the matter is they're establishing the culture now that the Nets already did, which is why the Nets have KD and Kyrie and Harden. The Knicks are hoping to get to the point where eventually they can convince players like KD, Kyrie, and Harden to come sign with them and to demand trades to them. And it's always better when big markets like Chicago and New York and L.A. are really good at basketball. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Dan Orlovsky, NFL analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan the man. What's going on?
What's going on, superstar? How are you?
I'm doing well, other than the fact that I hit a pothole the size of my actual car, blew out a tire. No spare tire on the Tesla, had to wait for roadside assistance and got to sleep at 2 a.m. Other than that, Dan, I'm doing great.
Wow. You don't come off as a complainer. I'm disappointed that you started this show with complaining.
Complaining, please. I go way back with complaints. Complaints in me are like, I'm the MVP of complaining, Dan. Where does Justin Fields stand today, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, in my eyes, Mac, I think I have Justin Fields as the fourth best quarterback in this draft. Mm-hmm. I also have this draft as 4 really good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. If you told me you wanted to flip Mac Jones and Justin Fields, I'm cool with that. I think there's 4 really good ones. 4 guys that I sit here and say, these guys should become really good guys, good pros in the NFL. The 5th guy that I have questions on is Trey Lance. Mm-hmm.
High upside, but farther away, right?
And Max, I have seen Justin Fields line up with a team that's across the line of scrimmage with him and be just as good talent-wise. And I've seen him rise up. And I've seen that out of Mac Jones. And I've seen that out of Zach Wilson and Trevor. I haven't seen that out of Trey. He's never been asked to do that.
Sure.
I've never seen Trey Lance have to throw the ball 45 times in a game because his defense can't stop anybody and just have to be the guy. I've never seen that from Trey Lance. I've seen out of the other guys. And so those are fair question marks. Listen, I said this 3 weeks ago. If Justin Fields falls past 4 in this draft, we failed as the NFL community because the talent is too good to go, nah, he's the 7th best player in this draft or the 9th best player in this draft. I don't see that.
So I'm
now,
looking.
We can also be fair.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, Dan.
We could also be fair that there are fair question marks about his play on the field. He's deliberate with the football, Max. He's deliberate with everything. His feet, his eyes, his ball placement, or his head where he's looking. Deliberate doesn't usually play well at quarterback in the NFL right now. And then his motion, his mechanical motion, is odd. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that throws like him with his mechanics, and I'm doing a big tape on this at the draft, that is a consistently high-end passer.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a fair concern.
Yeah, listen, I remember not liking Philip Rivers out of college. I don't like this sidearm quarterback. Like, why, Max? I don't know. I just used to it the other way, and he's a pretty good passer. If he starts to fall in the draft, Dan, I start to look like there's a possibility here. Stay with me here. Jacksonville and the Jets, we know who's going there. Let's say it's Mac Jones to the Niners. Let's say the Falcons decide to stay with Matt Ryan, but they use the 4th pick on a player. The Bengals have Burrow. The Dolphins have Tua. The Lions just traded for Goff. The Panthers need a quarterback. But let's say they prefer Trey Lance. Then the Broncos. Do the Broncos draft a quarterback? Like, it's possible. If for some reason, If for some reason the Broncos didn't, that would be the big if. He could fall all the way to the Patriots at 15, possibly.
Yes. I think it's more likely that Mac Jones would fall to a chance where the Patriots can go get him at the 10-9-10 world, mm-hmm. or hang and wait till 12 or something, that the Patriots would go get Mac Jones than they would Justin Fields. I think that the Patriots, if they were going to go be somewhat opportunistic for a quarterback, would go get Mac Jones more than Justin Fields. I also don't think that Denver would pass on Justin Fields. I don't think there's any.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sorry. I said the Panthers, but they have Darnold. So what I meant was, I knew I was getting my wires crossed. What I mean is, let's do this again. I'm sorry. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, let's say it's Mac Jones at three. Let's say, yeah, talking to Dan Orlovsky, NFL analyst here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, let's say the Falcons pass on a quarterback but use the pick on an impact player. The Bengals have Burrow. The Dolphins have Tua. The Lions have Goff. The Panthers just traded for Darnold. So let's say the Broncos, right, like Trey Lance. The Cowboys have a quarterback. The Giants think they have a quarterback. The Eagles believe they may have a quarterback. The Chargers have a quarterback. The Vikings like Kirk Cousins. The Patriots may not even have to trade up. He could be at 15, is my point.
Yeah, no, he could. I don't think that either Trey Lance or Justin Fields gets to 15. I honestly don't.
Because
don't
teams will move up to grab him, you're saying.
Someone is. New England's moving up to grab him. Chicago's moving up to grab him. Shoot, I could see the Vikings, you know, being
the Bears, if they're smart.
And here's the thing, Max. Like, over the past, like, 4 or 5 years, we've had a team kind of surprise / shock us in the first round by taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
Obviously, Green Bay last year. Mm-hmm. Kansas City did it a couple years ago. Buffalo went up a couple years. Like, there's these teams that do surprise us and shock us that come kind of maybe out of Pittsburgh. Like, someone can come out of nowhere and go, you know what? For Green Bay to go up 5 slots last year in the first round cost them a fourth rounder, okay? So it's not going to go from a 20 to a 12 is not going to, you know, completely mortgage your organization. So I just don't see either of those guys falling that far.
You would think that the Bears or some quarterback-hungry team would make a deal with, you know, if Fields especially starts to fall, would make a deal with the Falcons or the Lions or the Panthers, or the Broncos, but we've seen drafts where those kind of deals aren't made. I'm just saying, there's a universe where Justin Fields is sitting there at 15 for Bill Belichick. Could you imagine? Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen. Dan, always appreciate when you come on. Are we having Dan on weekly, Raj? How are we doing this?
We try and have Dan on, but sometimes Dan is...
He gives us your hi-hat, huh, Dan? Yeah. Sometimes.
There we go. I'm a peasant to you, Max Kellerman. I'm a peasant.
He's on NFL Live. He's doing all the big shows. We have to twist his arm to come on, and, you know, I have to agree to wash Dan's car to get him on the show. The great Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen. Always appreciate it when you come on, Dan. Could Trevor Bauer change baseball? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Raj is writing me. No Doubts next. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
No, yeah.
My computer career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers. Well, you don't have to. Before starting, many graduates could turn a computer on and off and that's it. But now they're IT pros. You could do it too. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It ain't rocket science. It's My Computer Career, No Doubt, next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Can the Lakers stop a healthy Nets team? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll tell you something else. If you're the Ravens, remember that Orlando Brown trade went down on Friday? If you're the Ravens, you're trading blindside protection, whether or not Lamar Jackson needs it as much, to the Chiefs. Don't forget, Chiefs got the guard from the Patriots, Tooney, one of the best in the business. Now Orlando Brown, the left side is maybe as good, maybe the best one in football, on paper at least. They got a lot of guys coming. Their right side doesn't look too shabby either. They needed to rebuild that line just like that. The Chiefs maybe have one of the most dominant in football on paper. That's been like that. That's like, to me, the kind of most underreported story of this football offseason. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of it.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we have?
All right, let's listen to Dodgers ace, one of their aces, Trevor Bauer.
I like it. I think that pitchers who have that done to them and react by throwing at people, I think it's pretty soft. If you give up a homer, a guy should celebrate it. You know, it's hard to hit in the big leagues. So I'm all for it. And I think it's important that, you know, the game moves in that direction and we stop throwing at people because they celebrated having some success on the field.
Bauer is smart,
now,
by the way.
He was referring to Fernando Tatis Jr. Home run and celebrating.
Yeah, he mocked Bauer with the one eye thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, baseball's unwritten rules are just silly.
No Doubt. First of all, Trevor Bauer sounded to me like he plans on beating this dude, beating Tatis in the future, and that's his cover. But yeah, look, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us, right? Like, this is the Malcolm X story, right? The puritanical culture that this country was really founded on, we were indebted to the Puritans in certain respects, work ethic and all these things. But it's not like other cultures don't also have work ethic. What the Puritans have in addition, which maybe isn't so great all the time, or at least doesn't have to be the only way to do things, was like frugality and modesty and all this kind of stuff. And not every culture shares those same values. And so baseball, which was exclusively white until 1947 and then largely white, has an old kind of puritanical, you know, ethic in it that kind of has been resistant to change. And not every culture is the same way. And Raj, one of the issues with baseball has been a lack of showmanship compared to other sports. And baseball's got to get with it. What else?
Yeah. One of the few guys, our guy, Bryce Harper, he's against all that too. He wants to, hey, let us celebrate. Let us have fun.
Yep.
Agree with him. Hey, Madison Bumgarner, remember him? He threw a 7-inning no-hitter because of double header, so it was 7 innings. Does that still count, Max?
It does. It's just not a 9, no doubt. It's just not a 9-inning no-hitter.
Yeah.
But if a full game is called 7 innings, if it's the second of a double header, then you've thrown a no-hitter in a complete game, in a major league game. Here's one of the reasons people are reluctant and to change things and are resistant to change in baseball, because the records in baseball have always meant a lot. So like you want to be able to compare apples to apples, which is why if they go to a much shorter season, I'd be in favor of 81 games. So you can just double everything and compare it to 162, you know, even if it's not perfect. Yeah. But so it's a no hit. And by the way, Bumgarner, one of the all time great big game pitchers, you know, happy for him.
All right. Hey, listen, last year of COVID meant a lot of people were at home watching movies, maybe even Max. So Max watched the Oscars.
No, I stopped watching. I stopped watching the Oscars, and I'll turn them on if I happen to be around sometimes. I was 14 years old, and I thought the Academy Awards were a big deal. I thought I was going to be an actor one day. I'd win an Academy Award, and I should for playing a sportscaster. Anyway, the point is... I saw Dances with Wolves get the Academy Award over Goodfellas. And I like Dances with Wolves. It was a good movie. You have to be brain dead to consider. Like, you have to be so profoundly stupid to think Dances with Wolves is as good as Goodfellas. And that was it for me. I was out. I was like, oh, okay, it's just completely political nonsense. A bunch of dummies. Let me tell you how stupid the people who vote on the Academy Award are, okay? I remember I mentioned this last week. Rocky III would never win an Academy Award because it doesn't have very serious subject matter. But if Die Hard, a perfect movie, never win an Academy Award. But if you have a serious subject matter, if someone has, if it's a movie about mental illness or some kind of serious subject, then, oh, this is a serious subject, it's an Academy Award. Even if the movie's not made well, or if it's just made well, it's okay, but it's not great. Because people don't have... the kind of intellectual courage to believe, to like buck the trend. Hollywood is kind of the ultimate you know, follow the trend follower kind of place. So, yeah. So, no, I don't watch the Academy. That's a long way of saying I'm upset that I'm not an actor and I'm feeling left out. No, it's a long way of saying, no, I don't really watch the Academy Awards usually. Yeah.
Okay. And last one before we try and sneak in a caller. A fully healthy Warriors team will be title contenders next season.
No doubt. There will be contenders because not only will they have Steph and Klay and Draymond, but they will either have developed another player like Wiseman or someone like that or two, or they will use them to move them for a part that they can use. So there's a creative front office. It's a desirable place to play, Silicon Valley, basically. Steph is a huge attraction. He makes everyone else's life easier with the way he can score. And so, yes, they will be title contenders. But the days of them being light years better than everyone are over. That is now the Brooklyn Nets, if healthy. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Robert in Virginia. Go.
Hey, Max. I'm actually a full-time Lyft driver here in Charlottesville, and I really feel bad about what happened to you last night. That Lyft driver was totally to have an animal in the car and not have a mask on. That's way against the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every morning, I do it full-time. Lyft sends us four or five things that we need to do every day, including wearing a mask, and every once in a while, they'll have us take a picture of ourselves, making sure we got the mask on.
So well, I'll say this. I did appreciate that he called me and asked, right? He didn't just show up. He called me and asked, hey, is that cool? Nah, man. Nah, I'll just get the next one. But then there was first they reroute. Okay, I had a flat tire. I had to get picked up from a gas station and driven, 50 miles into the city last night. I didn't get to sleep till 2 in the morning. And as I told the story early in the show, that's what he was responding to. At any rate, so first they reroute. It's 18 minutes away, your car. And then it's like, well, we found a car closer to you. But the car closer to me had the dog in the car with no mask. And so then the original car is gone. That car is gone. They spend a half an hour trying to find me another car. No car. So I ordered an Uber. It's very tough. It's very tough being on television and the radio, Raj, and getting paid out of proportion to anything, any actual work you do. Very hard. I'm used to a certain standard of luxury and convenience. You see, Raj, it's hard. It's hard if you're used to it. And then any little thing goes wrong, it feels like a big deal. No one thinks about the 1%. Everyone talks about income gap, but no one talks about the 1%, Raj. That's right. I feel like COVID is, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and we can start making jokes again about stuff that during COVID it was like, it's still happening, but whoa, people were struggling with our country's initial disastrous response to it. But the response is much better now, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Daniel Cormier confronted Jake Paul at UFC 261. Find out what happened next. Baseball's back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus. With over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league, sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball.
DeVonta Smith, Heisman Trophy winner and projected first-round draft pick. DeVonta Smith with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning at 9, 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News. The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Well, I had told a fascinating story about a flat tire on the highway, a problem with a Lyft and an Uber. What else happened today? We talked some UFC. We talked to Ariel Helwani. And we talked a little bit of baseball. And we did a little football draft. Dan Orlovsky talked to Kendrick Perkins about basketball. Yes, what didn't we do? It would be easier to tell you what we didn't do today. And when I say we, I mean me. There's no one else here. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Jake Paul says he loved UFC fans chanting blank Jake Paul, and he mocked Daniel Cormier after a heated confrontation at UFC 261. Cormier was on the mic talking about, there's Jake Paul. I don't play that. I'll smack him. I think it was Joe Rogan who was reacting. Like, oh, okay. All right. Cormier comes up to me, said Jake Paul, starts chirping. I'm sitting here enjoying myself with AB. This guy goes, keep my name out of your mouth. Keep my name out of your mouth. I said, wait a minute, Daniel. You're putting my name in your mouth first. You put my name in your mouth first. You talked about me on your little commentator podcast with Ariel. So don't come over here talking about how I talked about you. I said, let's sign the contract. Let's run a fight. I'm not scared of you, DC. You're short. I'm looking at this guy like he's short. Here's the thing about Jake Paul. You just say whatever you want about him. He's a novice. He is a novice. He gets in shape. He trains hard. He fights as well as he can. That's all you can ask anyone. And his mic skills, the fact that so many people hate him and love to see him lose, are creating big business. They're making big events. Fighters like fighting on cards with him because he draws eyeballs. And by the way, you know how much guts it takes? I don't care if Cormier is not a professional boxer. Daniel Cormier is a bad dude with a lifetime of fighting experience. It's how he made a living. It's how he made millions, fighting. And in MMA, you know, you take your life, not just taking your life in your hands, it's that, you know, everyone you face at a certain level. It's not like boxing. Sometimes, you know, this guy can't really punch. You go the distance. MMA, everyone's a de facto one punch knockout artist because they can submit you. They can knock you out. They can grapple. They can do all kinds of stuff. So even if he's not a boxer, do you know how much guts it takes to start talking smack to Daniel Cormier and be willing to put your name on a contract? Well, that's in boxing, not in MMA. Yeah, I know. Jake Paul's just learning how to fight. I respect it. By the way, so do guys. I had Jake Paul on Max on Boxing. So do guys like Mike Tyson and Oscar De La Hoya and Charlo and a lot of guys. Horace in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon.
Steve Nash is the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, correct?
Correct.
But they're running a D'Antoni offense.
Well, D'Antoni's on the bench.
And that's not, he's just on the bench. He just don't do press conference, but they're running his offense.
Yep.
And when teams in the playoffs stop running their own defense and start stopping them,
no, they can't stop them. This is why you can't stop them, because again, they have three players who can all do the following. If they're healthy, they'll be on the court at the same time most of the game. Kyrie, Harden, and KD can all get their own shots as well as just about anyone who ever lived, and can hit them from anywhere as well as just about anyone who ever lived, and they're playing unselfishly. How do you stop them? Well, if you have a presence in the middle, they'll bomb from the outside. You think they can't get to the paint and score? They get three the hard way, or they can bomb from the outside. They can do it all. And not to mention they have nice complementary pieces. Like, they're a little soft in the middle, right? And no one's going to stop Embiid in the middle or Jokic or someone, but Claxton is a nice player, young, you know, ascending player. Joe Harris can shoot the ever-loving lights out. They have pieces in addition to three superstars on the same team who clearly enjoy playing together and doing it very effectively. Like you saying, well, their D'Antoni offense can be stopped. It's quite the opposite. D'Antoni's offense was so devastating that the Houston Rockets, without Chris Paul, took the fully loaded Warriors, the KD, Steph, Clay, Dre Warriors, 7 games. And they were playing at home, Houston, in game 7. And they lost, but they didn't even have Chris Paul that day. And they went 0 for 27 from 3. You think KD, Kyrie, and Harden with Joe Harris are going to go 0 for 27 from 3? And that was against the Golden State freaking Warriors. That was a D'Antoni offense. Now you're going to run that with KD, Harden, and Kyrie. Good luck. Good luck. David in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir. What's up, Max? Back to the Warriors. I think Draymond Green doesn't get talked about enough for getting DPOY.
Yeah, I think Draymond is the, when you talk about the most influential players of the era, Steph Curry comes to mind immediately. He changed the way the game is played, the way Kareem and Wilt once did, but in a different way, the way Jordan eventually did. He changed the way the game's played. The number two player, if you want to boil down the Warriors to their core identity, everyone says Steph and Clay. And Clay's a great two-way player. But it's really Steph and Dre, because Dre was his pick and roll partner. Draymond, when he was shooting the ball well years ago, allowed you to play five out, the death lineup, Steph and Clay and Iggy, and at the time Harrison Barnes and Draymond. And then it was KD instead of Harrison Barnes. They were almost impossible to beat with Barnes. With KD, they were impossible to beat. And Draymond's shooting allowed them to do it. Because he doesn't shoot it as well anymore, I think he's overlooked sometimes. But his influence on the modern game is, other than Steph, maybe more than anyone else. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. We laughed, we cried. Well, I laughed a little bit. I don't know if you did. I don't think anyone cried. Still a good show. Sinead and Golic Jr. coming right up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.